Yeah, me too. Praise the Lord. Yeah, yeah, it's the season. That's when people are going to steal. Stuff's going to be stolen. Cars are going to be broken in. Houses are going to be broken in. People are going to lose Christmas ornaments in their out of their yards that they bought and put up. Be careful, you know. Keep. He's got two dogs. Sick 'em on 'em. Praise God. Big German Shepherd next door will tell you all about it when it starts. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good today. I want to read a scripture on the subject, the first words of Christmas. And the first words were two words, really. Come down to two. Yeah, it is two words. Let me read from, and we're going to have a song about that. From St. Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. Listen to it. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. I want to just clarify something in the way of teaching for just a moment. These people, nobody knows exactly the date of Jesus' birth. And I hear the controversy every year when someone's wanting to argue. You know anybody that would rather argue Scripture than exalt Jesus? Let me see your hand. Do you know anybody that would rather argue Scripture than to exalt Jesus? They're not set for the defense of the gospel. They're set for the pride of being right and the joy of proving you're wrong. And they just live for it. Can you say amen? Well, I want to be right and truthful, but nobody can pinpoint the date of Christmas. Nobody can do that. They say, well, it couldn't be December because it was wintertime. And the sheep were always in the stalls. They were not out in the fields in the wintertime. It was cold and the grasslands were not conducive to them eating. Could even be a snow on the ground. They're not out there. Well, there were some sheep that were out there. And there were some shepherds that were out there. But they were not the normal shepherds. They were the shepherds just southeast of Jerusalem that kept all of the sacrifice lambs that were brought to be offered, because temple sacrifice did not stop. For the winter, it continued consistently, perpetually. And the shepherds, I believe with all of my heart, that the angels appeared to were not random shepherds in the field. They were the temple shepherds, given charge over the sheep that were brought to be offered. Because a lamb, a sacrificed lamb, symbolically was going to be born in that manger. When John saw him, he didn't see him as a great preacher, great teacher from God. He said, behold, the sacrificed lamb, the Lamb of God, God's sacrificial lamb, amen, that is going to be sacrificed for the sins of the whole world. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus coming to be our sacrificed lamb. Thank God for temple shepherds. Amen. The angels chose them to begin the Christmas message. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. And there were in the same country, everybody say temple shepherds, abiding in the field. So it could have been December. Could have been July. The fact is, it took place. Hallelujah. He came and went to the cross, arose from the dead, ascended to heaven, and he's coming back again. Hallelujah. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Wow. How's the whole story begin? How does the whole gospel message begin? It begins with, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. If there's one thing Jesus came to do, it was to conquer and cancel fear. Amen. We needn't fear God in the sense of dreading Him anymore. We don't have to be afraid of the judgment to come. Hallelujah. Our sins have been forgiven. We've been washed from our sins. Hallelujah. We don't have to fear judgment to come. We don't have to fear people. We don't have to fear death. Oh, death, where's your sting? Whoever talks like that, what crazy man is this? Grave, where is your victory? Death has been swallowed up in victory. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. We don't have to fear the judgment. We're not going to be at the great white throne judgment. Only those whose names were not found written in the book of life are at that judgment. Can you say amen? And you know what happens when you get saved? The Bible said your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And when power, gifts, and authority was being distributed by Jesus and demons were being cried and coming out and the disciples coming back rejoicing that demons were subject to them, he said, don't rejoice that demons are subject to you. That's the wrong reason for the real joy that you are to sustain and maintain. Rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. Can you say amen? Glory to God, because that means that God has forgiven you. The judge of the universe has acquitted you. And heaven already. God is so confident in what His Son did at Calvary and what the blood of Jesus has done for you that He went ahead and made you a citizen of heaven while you're still here upon the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. Amen. Woo! Yeah. What if I'd done that in the First Baptist this morning? I don't think I could help it. Don't ever invite me to preach near Christmas unless you're in a church that wants to shout victory. Can you say, man? I don't mean scream. I mean shout victory. Hallelujah. Death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? Death is swallowed up in victory. Therefore, my beloved brethren, thanks be unto God which gives us that victory through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. He came to cancel this fear, this dread. Amen. Sinai was so terrified that God was on that mountain. The mountain shook and the people quaked. There was a reminder, I'm holy and you're not. And you better stay back. The linen veil was a clear communication. I'm holy and you're not. Stay back. He's a God who dwells in unapproachable light, the Bible said. Even angels can't stand the glory of His direct presence, according to Isaiah. Amen? And yet, that veil rent from top to bottom. And Paul said, you have not come to the mountain which cannot be touched. Hallelujah. You have not come to Sinai. You have come to Zion. Praise God. Amen. To an innumerable company of angels. Amen. To the fellowship of the firstborn. Praise God. Amen. To the city of the living God. Hallelujah. All the highest persons and places of heaven. You've come when you've received Jesus as your Savior. And you come without fear. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But it's not the dread of God because of a broken relationship. Amen. It is deep reverence. Say it with me, deep reverence. With awe and affection. We love Him. If Jesus walked in now, would you run from Him? Or would you run to Him? If He bodily manifested Himself and said, I've come to manifest myself to you, just like I did to the disciples in the upper room. Amen. Would you shake His hand? Say, I'm so glad you came to our church this morning. We offer you a warm welcome. Hallelujah. Yes. No. Dear Lord in heaven. You throw your arms around Him. You fall at His feet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Why are we not in dread? Amen. Listen, you say, well, God is different. No, God's not holier than Christ. To wit, God was in Jesus Christ when He was on that cross. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the second person of the Godhead. And God the Father has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name that's named of things in heaven and earth and beneath the earth, that at the sound of His name every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that He is Lord to the glory of God. Can you say amen? And yet this God, and oh, by the way, show us the Father. It suffices us when you've seen me. You've seen the Father. Then you mean the God of glory, the God of creation, the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, the God that dwells in unapproachable light is like you? And He loves us, and He's made a way for us to approach Him and come behind the veil, and He can love us and come and live within us. That's called joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's called the unsearchable riches of Christ. And it's called the unspeakable gift. It is beyond human words to describe. That means whatever I'm saying can't do justice to what has happened because of that baby in that manger, hallelujah, and that cross and that empty tomb. Woo! First words of Christmas is, fear not. The Bible said we have been delivered who were all of us held in bondage by the devil because of the fear of death. Amen. But He said, I come to set you free from that fear. Because whoever believes in Me, he'll never die. Well, what about this? I knew a good Christian just passed away. No, you knew a good Christian who just went up a little higher. You don't know no Christian that died. I beg your pardon. One great Christian of old, he was getting ready to graduate, to go up to be with the Lord. And he felt his body sinking, and he had a friend with him, and he said, oh, his name was Brother Pons, P-O-N-D-S. He said, oh, Pons. He said, just a few moments, and his closest friend was there with him. He was weeping. He said, just a few moments, you're going to be leaving the land of the living. He looked back at him with an expression like, he said, I'm not leaving the land of the living and going to the land of the dying. I'm leaving the land of the dying and going to the land of the living. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Death is swallowed up in victory. If death couldn't hold Him, then it can't hold us. Can you say amen? Something happened at Calvary that changed all of that. Woo! And it started at Bethlehem. Hallelujah. Fear not. That's the message of Christmas. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Can you say amen? I bring you a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Now this peace is a peculiar, particular peace. It is not a global peace through a universal salvation. It is a personal peace by receiving Him as your Savior. In the actual Greek, the way it's worded, it said peace to all those who were receiving. Can you say amen? It's a peace that everyone in this room can know. You may not know it, but it's available to you, and it's available to me today. Can you say amen? Because when we have peace with God, we can have the peace of God to reign in our heart and in our life. Can you say amen? Everybody say worry. Worry is pretty common, isn't it? There's a time to be concerned. There's a lot of things I'm concerned about. I've got to be careful I don't worry about the things that concern me. In all things with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. Amen. With thanksgiving. This was told by a senator to one of our presidents, and the president thought it was kind of neat because they fly a lot. And Air Force One is not immune to going down. It just hasn't happened yet. Whole football teams have went down in an airplane. I'm not telling you not to fly. It's far safer than driving. Amen. Someone was just killed in an accident in Plant City. A 90-year-old lady in a van turned in front of a motorcycle and a 23-year-old man with a helmet on. His life was taken, and my son and I had to wait to get around that accident, and the motorcycle was just accordioned. It looked like you'd taken it, broke it in half, and put both wheels together. And I was just thinking about an old used motorcycle somewhere so I could just, you know, recapture my glory days. I mean, my young days. Amen. This is probably the glory days right now. But amen. My younger days. And I could see myself, you know, on that motorcycle cruising along, feeling the breeze, you know, spitting out the bugs. Amen. Just driving along. I know how to spit them bugs out. Can you say amen? I used to ride a motorcycle and wear a black leather jacket. Amen. When Pamela met me. But I don't do that anymore. I can dream about it. On a transatlantic flight, this is just a story, from London to New York. It's hard not to worry. Say it with me, it's hard not to worry. And yet the message of Christmas is don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of God because you can be reconciled to Him. Don't be afraid of people, amen, because God is going to protect you. Don't be afraid of death because death can't truly touch you. On a transatlantic flight from London to New York, about halfway over the ocean, the pilot's calm voice came over the intercom. If you look to your left, you will see that both engines have failed. If you look to the right, you will see that one engine is on fire and the other is sputtering. If you look directly beneath you, you will see a bright orange circle with six black dots in the ocean. That's a life raft with the pilot, the co-pilot, the navigator, and three flight attendants. Enjoy the rest of your flight. This is a recording. There's something it's just hard not to be concerned about. Can you say amen? You know what I love about the message of Christmas? Emmanuel. Emmanuel. God does not abandon us. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. She said there's enough corn in that joke to go home and make cornbread out of. Corn fritters. Hallelujah. It's hard not to worry sometimes. In fact, in this world, it's hard not to worry all the time about something. And yet the message of Christmas is don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It is one of the most used phrases in all of the New Testament. It's something that He said over and over and over and over. Fear not, little flock. Right in the middle of the chaos of the last days. Don't be afraid. Amen. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Can you say, man, I go to prepare a place for you. Don't let your heart be troubled because you hear about the end of the world, the end of the age. Can you say, man, I'm preparing a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Don't let your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. For the kingdom isn't meat and drink for self-indulgence. It's righteousness. It's knowing my sins are forgiven. I don't have to be afraid of the judgment to come. I'm right with God. Can you say amen? And it's peace that comes from knowing you're right with God. Can you say amen? And it's joy in the Holy Ghost because He can manifest the Father and Son to you and to me. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. I can see the needles at the radio station if we put this one on the air going. And the guy with the earphones, smoke coming out. I didn't know he was going to holler. Brother Vimble, why did you holler? Because it's joy unspeakable. So when I can't say it, I got to express it some way. Can you say amen? Amen. I might ask you, why don't you ever holler? Can you say amen? Put you on the prices right. If you get the right price, people holler. Got that Maytag washer and dryer. The front loading. Stainless steel. Cost $3,000 retail. Woo! And go kissing on a man you don't even know. And hugging on him. Can you say amen? But do that in church over Jesus? Emotionalism. Let me tell you about emotionalism. The only people who don't have emotions are laying in the back room of some morgue somewhere. Can you say amen? Or 6 foot under in some cemetery. But all the rest of us have emotions. Just don't get too excited about something this exciting. Because then you're one of those kind of Christians. One of those emotional kind. Amen. Well, I believe Christmas ought to be a time of high spiritual emotion. Not emotionalism, but the gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness, all you lands. How do you do that? Amen. Clap your hands, O you people, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Come before His presence with singing. Praise the Lord in the dance. Praise Him on the psaltery, the harp, the cymbal and the high-sounding cymbal. Let everything that hath breath, musical instruments, our vocal cords, everything make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Everybody say a joyful noise. Joyful. Hallelujah. I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Fear not. For unto you in the day, city of David is born what? A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're almost done with this message and we barely started it. Amen. Matthew, God, first reason is because God is with us. He doesn't abandon us. He doesn't bail out when the troubles come. Amen. Matthew 1:23 said, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, and this is all over the Bible, and the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee, and even in ancient Israel, He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. So fear not, and don't be dismayed. Why? Because He's with you. Are you going to have trouble? Absolutely. When you go through the waters, they will not overflow thee, for I'm with you. Can you say amen? When you go through the fire, it shall not kindle upon you, for I'm with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Say it again, church.
With me.
Say it loud.
With me.
Say it proud.
With me.
Emmanuel. God with us, can you say amen? Not only can you go behind the veil, God can come from behind the veil and come to you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh! When I woke up this morning, I didn't have no doubt. Can you say amen that God was going to take care of me? Why? Because He's with me. Fear not. God is coming down. God is coming to you. Hallelujah. And when He ascends to heaven, He's coming back to you. I will not leave you comfortless. The Greek word is orphanos. I will not leave you like an orphan. Can you say amen? But I will come back to you. Can you say amen? Oh, it's one of those comings of the Lord that is spiritual. It's when the Holy Spirit comes and manifests Jesus. Can you say, man, when He comes, He's going to do what? Testify of me. He's going to let you know that He indeed lives within you. He's going to manifest Him to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In a way the world can't know Him. How is it that you're going to manifest yourself to us and not the world? Because everybody needed healing, was pressing in. Needed a touch, was pressing in. There was always a press and a crowd trying to touch Him. How are you going to be personal, intimate with us and not to everybody? They're pushing us aside just to get close to you. He said, if any man hear my voice, keep my commandments, I and my Father will come to him. He's coming behind the veil now. Christmas means there's no more veil. Not only can we come to Him, but He can come to us. Hallelujah. Amen. There came a sound from heaven. God coming down again by the Spirit. Come on. There came a sound. This wasn't just power coming. This was a person coming. Hallelujah. Praise God. Like a mighty rushing wind. And they were all filled with God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And it wasn't the tongues. That just gave evidence to the presence. Because that was the Shekinah dancing around their head that was causing that burning bush to burn and not be burned up. Because where God's presence goes, that pillar of fire, that Shekinah goes. Artists have a little candle. Amen, a little candle. Look like it ought to be on a birthday cake for a kid that's 1 year old. Can you say amen? A little candle of fire. And that's how it's kind of represented. I'm saved. Yes, the Holy Spirit abides in me. Little candle. No, it wasn't a candle. Amen. It was the glory, the Shekinah, that attends the presence of God. And when God came to live in people, His presence was seen upon them because He was within them. He was in His holy temple. Holy temple, holy temple. What know ye not? Paul said that your body is the temple. Wherever He abides is His temple. Keep it holy. Keep it holy. Someone holy is living in there with you. Can you say amen? The blood of Jesus has done something so wonderful. Listen, I'm not that holy to deserve that. But the blood of Jesus has done something. Hallelujah. Something wonderful and mighty that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit can live within me. Oh, not just live in me, but feel at home. Because to make our abode means to make our home. God said, I have sanctified you as holy as heaven. You're not there yet on personal righteousness. But positional righteousness and made your spirit so clean, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost can and does come to live within you. For if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he don't even belong to him. He says you can't have this part way and halfway. You've got to have the whole enchilada. Everybody, yeah, that's Robert chapter 5 and verse 19. Can you say, man? You got to take the whole enchilada. Everybody say the whole enchilada. When you come to Christ, you come to God. When you come to God, He fills you with His Spirit. Can you say, man, He writes your name among heaven's citizens. For our conversation is in heaven, which means our citizenship is in heaven. We're on the earth, and heaven recognizes us as its citizens as much as any loved one that has passed before us. Hallelujah. Isn't that incredible? Ah. Thank you. This is not to evoke just warm emotional feelings. This baby was God in flesh so He could go to the cross, take our place. Amen. The Bible said that God literally cannot accept us in our state. He can't do it. He's too holy. He had to find a way because He loved us that much. Can you say He had to find a way to be just and a justifier? Can you say amen? To still maintain His holiness, His justice, and still justify us. How can I do that? Sin has to be punished. And I cannot look the other way, sweep it under the rug. I've got to punish sin. Let me go down. Take on flesh and go to the cross. All we, Isaiah said in 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. The New Testament bears out that truth. There's all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That word short is a term about archery. It's about archery. It means we've missed the target. Not that we've missed the bull's eye. We were pretty close, but just short of. No, you were not even close. There's none righteous. Especially the people that think they are. Can you say, man? There's none right. Everybody say, no, not one. Why does it reiterate that? Because you think you know somebody that was. And God said, you're wrong. You don't understand my holiness. And some people, and I don't believe there's anybody here because we've been working on you for a long time to get that out of you. Some people think they're the one. They're the one. come short of the sending, come short. It's in the terms of archery, an arrow missing the target, not missing the bullseye on the target, but missing the whole enchilada, the whole target. Come on, we can't come close to God's requirement. So what's God going to do to save us? Amen. He has to punish sin. So he sends his Son, the second person of the Godhead, and through him himself, because I and my Father are one. Can you say amen? He takes on flesh to lay in a manger, to evoke emotional feelings. No, when I see that manger, I see a warrior. I see a battle getting ready to happen. Can you say amen between Satan for our souls? Amen. I see a mighty warrior standing up out of that manger, walking to that cross. Amen. Hanging on that cross and defeating death, hell, and the grave. Glory, and the devil included. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm ready to fight when I think about that manger, because I know he did come. He did go to that cross. He did conquer death and he did conquer Satan. He did set me free. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to his name. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He shall not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Deuteronomy 38:1. A newspaper held a contest to answer the question. Oh, by the way, that's why Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. I won't fail you. I'm with you. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, but I won't fail you and I'm with you. Be of cheer up. Be of good cheer. Everybody say, be of good cheer. How many know that the world's going to find their cheer in drugs and bottles and... We got to get back to finding it in Christ. Be of good cheer, you people that are under the gun. I'm with you. I go before you. He said, I've overcome the world. Follow me. I'll lead you to victory in spite of the circumstance and your weakness. A newspaper held a contest to answer the question, what is true friendship? They wanted a very short one-sentence answer. And all the people sent in there, and it was a contest, you get some money or a prize or something. And no, it wasn't a woman's leg in a stocking from Italy, Fragile. You know what the winning answer was? A young person wrote in this and won. Someone is walking in and everyone else is walking out. That's friendship. Someone who's walking in, Brother Taylor, when everybody else is walking out. You can't depend on people. If you fail them in some way, they perceive whether you hurt them or not. But if they perceive that you did, there's not too many people that won't quit you. I hate to bust your bubble today. Amen. There ain't many people that won't quit you. Amen. Just fail them and see if they won't quit you. They won't have no problem with quitting you. You'd think Christians would be more committed to one another than that. But I can tell you, after almost 40 years in ministry, people will quit you. And they won't care if you live, die, go hungry, how you feel, what's going on in your life. They will slam the door, and that will be it. People can quit you, but God is different. God is different. We used to sing, come on, this is his commitment. He said to his disciples, go into all the world and preach all over the world. He knew the persecutions would come. He knew many of them would die a martyr's death. And he said, but you know what he told them? Amen. Just seeing him raised from the dead wasn't enough. He had to promise to be with them, to manifest himself to them. He said, and lo, I am with you always. He said, I will never, and it's in the emphatic in the Greek, I will never, no, never. Say it with me, I will never, no, never. Praise God, I will never, no, never forsake thee. But I'll go with you all the way even to the end of the age. Who is a true friend? Someone who's walking in when everyone else is walking out of your life. God is walking in. Emmanuel, God came into our fallen world. Amen. Hallelujah. Instead of walking away from us and leaving us to our own devices and destruction, he came. Praise God. Hebrews 13:5-6 said, let your conversation, your lifestyle, behavior be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. Say it with me, I will not fear. Oh, by the way, that's another saying, I will not worry. I have deep and many times desperate concerns. I have to fight just like you do to keep it from becoming worry. A concern is something you're concerned enough to take it to God. Worry is something you carry and leave God out. Amen. Have you ever heard this? Boy, he's a pain in the neck. And you know what happens when you get stressed out? It all tightens up back here. Oh, there's pains in other places that occur. Can you say amen? Let's don't even go there. They're about to worry me to death. Descriptive word of worry. In the Latin, it was thought of as something that tears a man apart. It'll tear you up. It'll choke the word. Cares of this life and other things in your name will choke the word and cause it to become unfruitful. Amen? In the Greek, it was a wolf grabbing a sheep or some other animal by the throat and clamping down until it choked it to death. Worry. That's why Jesus said, it chokes the word. Can you say, man, other things entering in chokes. And one of those choking things is the inordinate fear because we won't factor God in. Amen? Fear of what people think of us if they see the real us. Honey, it's so hard living in this world behind the real person. Like the preacher that we met with that's sitting there and we didn't see the real him. If we saw the real him, we'd see a man that desperately needed deliverance instead of being in a pulpit trying to teach other people. But none of us suspected that he was a murderer or capable of murder. But he killed his wife on a Sunday morning. He went to the church and shot his pastor and co-pastor, and they both survived. A man of the cloth, so-called. They never even thought that Judas was the one because they trusted him enough to be their treasurer. Amen? In fact, they said, is it I? No one cast aspersions on Judas. He was good at playing the role. This is no time for role playing. Amen? If you want God to be real with you, you got to be real with God. Can you say amen? And with people, what you see is what you get. I heard my wife praying this morning on the way. Amen. And she was talking about us being who we are. Praise God. Some people will applaud us and some people won't like us. But some people applauded Jesus and some people didn't like him. And I'm tired of trying to be better than him. I just like to be anywhere near like him. I can't be better than him. I'd have to be better than him for everybody to like me. They didn't love him. They all left him. All them people got healed and blessed. They got down to the 12. And he said, are you going to leave me too? He said, where can we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. They didn't say they didn't want to. They said nobody else has got the truth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Where are we going to go? Where are we going to go and hear the truth? Praise God. I'm going to prophesy something. Amen. As skimpy as we are in here, a day is going to come, one of these days, all this other junk gospel is going to play out. And people are going to realize it isn't blessing the nation. It isn't blessing their households. It isn't saving their families and households. And one of these days, amen, people are going to want the truth. And when they start wanting the truth, they're going to look for a preacher that preaches the truth, a church that lives the truth and stands up for the truth. And the truth will set us free. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, it will. The message of Christmas is that God is with us. We don't need to fear. Everybody say, we don't need to fear. Second quick message of Christmas is that God is in us. God is in us. God is in us. That's why he's with us, because he's in us. You know why he showed up today when we gathered together? I brought him. You brought him if you're a Christian. He's got to be here because we're here. No wonder where two or more gathered, there am I. Because when we gather, we bring Him. Colossians 1:27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of His glory, of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. The hope of glory. Everybody say the down payment on heaven. Jesus lives in you. Man that had this vision of heaven, every book about a vision of heaven contradicts each other, and many of them contradict the scriptures. So my greatest book about heaven is the book of Revelation. John saw the city in detail, saw the 24 elders. He saw us. He saw us. He saw them coming from every kindred and nation into that holy city. Who do you think they were? They were those who washed their robes. That's me. That's you. He looked past the point of time he was in, and he saw the time to come, and he saw us coming. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, he did. Well, I saw a funny-looking tree when I was there. Well, what's that got to do with anything? You might have well still not left home. I see funny trees down here. Funny people, too. Can you say amen? I know something you don't know. No, you don't. No, you don't. You ain't seen nothing that tells me anything. Praise God. What I know about heaven, I know from the man that God gave the revelation. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And by the way, the book of Revelation isn't for sale unless you buy the Bible. And what Paul saw, he wasn't permitted to utter. He didn't write a book and drive a Rolls by selling it to people that won't know what heaven's like. Oh, that man been there. He can tell me something. And some of the things they tell is so extra biblical and out there. You might have one of those books at home. Get rid of it as soon as possible and go to the back of your Bible. You mean you don't believe that man was there? When he says things that's extra biblical, I question everybody. I don't need that. They contradict each other. Everybody writes a book, none of them are alike. One man wrote a book, and he said, there's a whole lot of people couldn't approach the throne. I thought, boy, that's odd. But you can't approach God's throne up there because you can do it down here. Come boldly before the throne of grace. The veil has been rent. So this guy that's selling all these books and making all this money from what he saw, unbiblical and extra-biblical, amen? Well, Brother Venable, he's that close to God. Nobody that close to God. We're all close to God. Your body's His temple. You may not be living in that reality, but that is the reality.
Right.
My Brother Venable, I know you're closer than I am. No, I just know who I am in Him and who He is in me. I'm no closer than you. You just got to figure it out. I've got it figured out. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And he said he asked the angel or the Lord or whoever it was that was. He talked to Paul and the Lord and different David. And David said he was sorry that he wrote the Psalms. Some of the Psalms. He was very sorry that he wrote the Psalms. Say that again. That's stupid. I wouldn't have said that. I wouldn't have been that harsh. I would have said that's crazy. But it is stupid, isn't it? That's stupid. And you know what's double stupid? People buying the books and following them. Anyway, Brother Jesse said that he talked to David, Brother Jesse, that's right, Jesse. He said that he talked to David while he was there. Now listen to this. Anybody got any biblical knowledge? You ever read that book? Well, then his book has to be put up against that book. What do you say? Let God be true and every man. Come on, if I say something that's not biblical, don't listen to me, for heaven's sake. Paul said, if you get a letter from me that contradicts the letter that I sent you, if I change, don't you change. God's on me, and I gave you the truth. And if I mess up down the line, don't even listen to me. Check me out by the truth that God has preserved and sent you. Can you say amen? Anyway, he goes up to David. This is his own words. I'm quoting people. They quote me, so I quote them. Amen. Yo, yeah, I'm sure they do. Amen. He says, and David said, you know, a lot of those Psalms I wish I had never written. He said, especially those psalms that are not full of faith. He said, I wish I'd never written any psalms where I complained. I wish I had praised God more and complained less. David, the Psalms. I'm so glad David was real.
Yeah.
I'm glad he complained. And I'm glad he found his way by trusting God. What time I'm afraid, he's confessing fear. I should have never written that. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in you. How saith unto my soul, flee into thy mountain. God is with me. Can you say amen? He like us, went through all the trials and pressures, and he complained, and he said, Lord, where are you, and how long, O Lord? He became impatient, but ultimately always came back to God and prevailed. Thank God for David's candidness, his honesty, and a faith that works in the real world. I wish I had been more positive. Well, that fits right into this genre. Amen, of always saying the things perfectly instead of pouring your heart out. David said, pour your heart out to him. Bring him your hurts, your pain, your heartaches, your heartbreaks. He understands. We have a high priest that's been where you are and feels what you feel. Hallelujah. And knows why you feel it. And he says, run to me, not from me, when you're shaken. Amen. And your emotions are hurting. Come to me, you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, and you'll find rest for your soul. David couldn't have got through what he got through with a God that wouldn't allow him to express his pain. Can you say amen? But he got through what he got through because he could cast his burden upon the Lord. And he said, when my soul is cast down within me, they say, don't you ever say that. Honey, it happens. Whether you say it or whether you don't say it, it'll happen anyway. And I'll say it when it happens. But I will say of the Lord, David said, I won't just say of my circumstance or what I feel, but I will say of the Lord, you're my shield, you're my buckler. Can you? I will say that about you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If we can't approach the throne, oh, these people couldn't approach the throne. Why? Because they had not fully spiritually developed. Wait a minute, I can approach the throne right here and now. And yet when I get in heaven, I can't. Said they're going to have to, there's an open-ended time limit here. They have to go eat from the tree of life to be made strong enough spiritually to approach the throne. No, no, the tree of life is just symbolic of eternal life that's given the church. It has nothing to do with growing spiritually after you get to heaven. Let me tell you something about when he comes and you get to heaven. The Bible said this mortal is going to put on immortality. And this corruptible is going to put on incorruption. And in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, something's going to happen. We're going to be changed. And our vile bodies, corruptible and mortal, will be fashioned after his glorious body. But don't think you can approach God's throne. What? You mean God can live in me and feel at home? And I can't approach his throne? You mean Christ in me is the hope of glory? The fact that Christ can live in me proves I can live in the holy city. Proves that I can come to God. Because he suffered to bring us to God. And I read these, I see these statements in books. I see these people with these huge followings. I think, where's the Bibles? And where are the Christians who read them? And where are the people who follow men instead of Christ? And why does this thing exist? Because this is the most biblically illiterate generation. They're heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears. And make no mistake about it, they're not so interested in heaven as they are the silver and gold that they can put in their pocket. And that's exactly what the ministry is designed to promote and provoke. Listen, God is with us. God is in us. I'm going to close with this. God is for us. That's why we don't have to fear. Everybody say, God is for us. Romans 8:31 through 32. Paul says, what shall we say then to these things? How are we going to answer all these condemning fingers that are pointed at us. Satan leading the pack. Can you say amen? What more shall we say to these things? How are we going to answer these accusations? How many's been accused of anything since you've been a Christian? Wave at me if you've been accused of anything. Oh, man. We created a breeze in here with all the hands waving so vigorously. It ain't over. You know what they said about Jesus? The perfect one, the holiest one of all. He hath a devil. He does what he does by Beelzebub, the Lord of death, the prince of the flies, those flies that blow those bloated bodies, blaspheme the very Holy Ghost, trying to reveal the true Christ unto them so they could be saved. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us. Everybody say, if God be for us. Who can be against us? You say, well, what about the devil? I'm glad you asked. Now is the accuser, Revelation chapter 12, of our brethren cast down, who accused them before God. How frequently does he do this? Day and night, he never lets up. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, I love to sing about the virtues of the blood of Jesus Christ. And the word of their testimony. Hold fast your profession of faith, for he is faithful that promised. Can you say amen? And they loved not their life unto the death. Amen. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and come and follow me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Psalm 56:9 says, when I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. David said, I know something about my God. This I know. That means without a doubt, God is for me. Can you say, is God for you? Then hush up. Quit your complaining about all the people that are against you. Because if God is for you, you know what he told ancient Israel? They were shaking because they saw these mighty armies coming. And oh, we're under some oppression. Here comes all these enemies. They're around us. They're everywhere. They're having a spastic fit. Amen. And God says, where is the fury of the oppressor? He walks out in front of them, between them and their enemies, and said, where is the fury of the oppressor? Let him step forward. Who is going to go through me to get to them? Who's going to do that? Nazi Germany couldn't do it. Caesar's Rome couldn't do it. Demons can't do it. The devil sure can't do it. He's a fallen angel. Yeah, Brother Venable, we were going to do this for God, but the old devil. Listen, I talk about people, but I don't talk about him. I don't give him credit. A lot of people let down and hinder the work of God. But the devil is not my big problem. Carnal Christianity is a huge problem and a huge resistance to revival. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Self-indulgent prophets, preachers, amen, are a hindrance to true revival. And we're not going to see revival in America until America repents nationally. Amen. Until the church in America leads the way. Until we embrace the message of repentance. Until Christians that once were on fire for God. Amen. And sit here this morning with the fire long gone out and willing to live like that without doing anything in your personal walk. Amen. To rekindle the flame. You and I become a hindrance to true revival. Can you say amen? Amen. We all agree how awful the world is. What about us? What about you and me? Are you willing to live with a flame that has died out? Are you willing to accept that as a way of life? Say, it really doesn't matter that I don't love him like I did. Last week we made a statement before leaving, stuck with me all week. When you return to your first love, and do your first words. What are your first words? It's what you did when you loved him the most. Can you say, man? Everybody say, whatever I did when I loved him the most. He said, do that again. Don't wait for the feeling you had. Just do it again. And in the doing of it again, there's a man came to a marriage counselor. I got to hurry and close. But a man came to a marriage counselor. And he said, there's no way. The wife had done been in, talked about how cold and indifferent he'd become, and he treated her like dirt and never had the romance was gone, everything was gone between them. And the guy didn't want to be in the marriage because he said his wife was the same way. You know, it's always somebody else, isn't it? It's never us. It's always them. Someone said to err is human, to blame someone else is even more human. The devil made me do it. If she would straighten out, I'd have, oh, it'd be great. If Pamela would just, God just straighten Pamela out, my life would be perfect. Like the lady that went into a psychologist's office. Two pieces of bacon hanging from her ear. Pierced ear. Two pieces of bacon. Two fried eggs on her head. Listen, you want to get in to see him quick? Not have to wait in line? Just two pieces of bacon and two fried eggs. They'll move you to the front of the line, can you say, man? The nurse came and said, there's a lady out here causing a great stir in the office. I believe you need to see her right now. Can you say, man? Amen. They let her in. She come in and sit down, and he's looking at her in sheer unbelief. And he said, ma'am, what is your problem? She said, I came to talk to you about my husband. It's always easy to see somebody else's fault. So this guy come and said, don't even try to talk me out of the marriage. She's cold and indifferent. She don't love me like she used to. And he said, do this for 1 month and come back and see me. Because these are supposed to be Christian people. He said, you remember when you first got married, how you loved that woman? I know she's not lovable now like she was then, but love her anyway. Love her like you used to for 1 month. Love her like you used to for 1 month. It doesn't matter whether she likes you loving her. Love her anyway. Do it for 30 days. And at the end of 30 days, if you can't be reconciled, you just have to do what you have. But do it for 30 days. Do your first works for 30 days. 30 days of meeting her and hugging her and looking in her eyes and saying, you are so beautiful. And she's looking back at you, what is your problem now? Can you say, man? What have you been smoking? Can you say, man? Love her like you used to. 30 days went by and the guy came back in. He said, well, because, you know, marriage counselors get tired of it too because, you know, they're not real effective when people have their hearts set. And he said, well, are you going to leave your wife? Because he didn't know what to expect. And the guy said, oh, no. He said, she's the most wonderful lady. She began to soften and change because he began to love her like he used to without her showing any sign of change. Amen. You know what Jesus said to get back to the first love? Do your first works. Don't wait for some, whoa! No, just start doing what you used to do when you loved him most. When you loved him most, I guarantee you, this was your favorite book. When you loved him most, you couldn't wait to get inside this book. I'm going to tell you something about this place, the house of worship. David said, I was glad. Boy, when they said to me, let's go up to the house of God. Wow, I was so glad instead of, oh, Lord, it's Sunday. Man, I've been working hard all week. I'm so tired. But I got to go to church this morning. No, do what you used to do. Can you say, man, say, Lord, I'm expecting to meet you there. Hallelujah. I'm expecting you to move. I'm expecting you to speak to my heart. And you used to sit so attentive. Your ears were tuned, waiting to hear something. Because you said, something might be in that service. Something might come through that word where God talks to my heart. Hallelujah. Amen. And he will. He will. He will. He will. Praise the Lord. Billy Graham tells of driving through a small southern town, being stopped by a policeman, being charged with speeding. He admitted his guilt, but was told by the officer he'd have to appear in court. The judge asked, guilty or not guilty? When Graham pleaded guilty, the judge replied, that'll be $10. Now, this was years ago when he was a very young man. It's not $10 anymore. $1 for every mile you went over the limit. Suddenly, the judge recognized the famous minister. He said, you violated the law. The fine must be paid. But I'm going to pay it for you. The judge took a $10 bill from his own wallet, attached it to the ticket, See, he's paying the fine. He's executing justice. And then he took Billy Graham out for a steak dinner. That's grace. That's grace. That's grace. That has happened to you. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue, oh Lord help us, say, oh Lord help us. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, lo, God help. I had to go off of Facebook. I couldn't take it. I thought I was tougher than that. I'm not tough at all. It still hurts. Can you say, man? Oh, I got to tell you this. We got to quit. Are you still having a little bit of fun at church? Are we hearing from God this morning? Is it worth the time and effort we're putting into it? Amen. Hallelujah. I was eating out with at a pastor's house. The man that came here, he's got a horse and a big black lab that looks just like old Sophie named Ruby. And she's just as fat as Sophie and just as stove up in her hinder parts. And, oh, that old dog is just good for nothing but loving on. That my kind of dog. And don't have to do tricks for me. Just love me unconditionally. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. You don't have to play dead. Turn a back flip. You don't have to push a buggy. Can you say amen? Just love me unconditionally. So I was out there with four pastors and three pastors and myself. And one of the pastors told a hunting story how he got his dog, because the hunting story was about a dog that this guy had, hog dogs. They go after these hogs that run wild, and they hold them until they can get there, either trap them or kill them. And these wild hogs eat those dogs up if they get in too close. And the guy, he said his vet bills were so high, the guy had purchased antibiotics on his own, wherever. And he had learned to stitch up gashes and cuts. And he said they would come and gnash on his dogs. And he'd take them dogs home, give them antibiotics. He'd sew up their wounds. And then guess what he did with them? Send them right back out there hunting them hogs. And I was listening to that, and I told an inside pastor joke that they all understood. And he said their master sent them right back to hunt them hogs. He'd stitch them up, give them some antibiotics, and send them right back to doing what they're called to do, and that's hunt hogs. And I, you know where this is going. Amen. I said, that's just like my master. He does the same thing. I get cut and I bleed and I hurt. Amen. And he sends me right back into the pulpit where I'm going to get cut again and going to get hurt. You can't stand up here and not get criticized. You can't stand up here and not get ridiculed. You can't do it. No. Sheep did all this biting. One pastor says sheep are passive, but they bite. Honey, I wouldn't pastor for money. I'd rather work at Walmart. I'm serious. It ain't worth it for money. It's got to be for God. It's got to be because I love Christ. It's got to be to serve Him by serving you. Can you say, man, because there's nothing else in it for me. I'm not going to be one of those people that, you know, retires at 50 because I'm almost 65. Amen. So it's too late to retire at 50. It's too late to retire rich unless, of course, you get a windfall and bless me. And I can see you have no faith for that ever happening. Dead silence came in the room. Ah, but one day, if I'm faithful to this little thing He's let me do for Him, amen, He's going to say, well done. And He's going to call me good and faithful if I just do it for Him and let Him stitch me up when I bleed and go back and do what I'm called to do. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 1,700 ministers leave the pulpit every month in America. I understand exactly why they do it. And it isn't because they're panty waist, and it isn't because they're not, some of them, truly called. It's because of deep discouragement. Can you say amen? It's because of the toll it takes on the family, the pressures on the home. It's because of the heartache that Paul felt, that cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And it's not the administrative duties of the apostle. It's watching, amen, the sin that continues while the word is preached and God comes down and the Holy Spirit is made available. And watching the backsliding and the backbiting and all the other stuff that happens in every church in America. This is not the end of your church search for the perfect church. This is a hospital for people who want to get sewed up. Can you say amen and get back in the fight? Thank you for the hearty amens. There's no church like that. Well, I know of one. No, you don't. There's a behind the scenes, darling. And I'm with pastors all the time. Let me tell you, there is a behind the scenes in every home and every church. I want you to know we have a happy home. We don't have a perfect thing, but we've got enough the devil can't do what he'd love to do for all of these years. We're getting ready to celebrate 49 years for our 50th. Wow, I don't know what's appropriate for 50. Is that your diamond anniversary? Lord, I hope not. It's gold. How many carat gold? Hey, gold plated is gold, right? Gold is gold is gold. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Go to Mickey D's. Tell them to supersize everything. Hallelujah. Amen. God is so good. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and make no mistake about it, their righteousness is of me. It's not up to what people think, it's up to what God knows. Can you say amen? Man looks on the outward appearance and they'll see every flaw and fallacy you have, but God looks deeper than that. He looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance and thinks you're just perfect, but God looks past that and looks upon the heart. Can you say amen? But when our ways please the Lord, He's even able to make our enemies be at peace with us. Why? Because if God be for us, who can be against us? Can you say amen? We don't even have to defend ourselves. He is our shield. He is our buckler. Hallelujah! And I would trade the joy I feel and the peace in my heart this morning, amen, for all the so-called revelation some of these people claim to have. They can't win anybody to Jesus because they're a sourpuss with the truth. But they can't flesh it out. They can't show Christ to anyone. They can just talk the talk. And He called us to walk the walk. Hallelujah. Well, everybody say, ain't scared. I'm from Plant City now. And on the back of the big old four-wheel drive trucks, ain't scared. Hallelujah. You know what God wants the church to say? I have deep and even desperate concerns. But what time I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. So I'm not afraid of what tomorrow brings. Hallelujah. Because He is with me. He is in me. And He is for me. And the day that I pray, my enemies turn back. Because I know why they do. Because God is for me. And He's even for you when you fail. He's for you when you fall. He's there to lift you back up. Can you say amen? God is in your corner. You can get some cuts as long as you've got a good cut man to stitch you up. And my master has stitched me up over and over and over again. And I bleed easily. Amen. But I am not afraid today to proclaim the gospel. I am not afraid, amen, of the judgment to come. I'm not afraid. Listen, I'm not afraid of evil tidings. You hear it all over the news. Amen. The newspaper should be called the fear paper. Because it just, that's all there is. Yeah. Everything you read provokes more fear. But right here is where faith comes from. Because it reveals a God that's with you, in you, and for you. What a victory we have in Jesus Christ. How many have deep, desperate concerns? How many will seek not to let it lead to worry? Because worry is fueled by fear. Amen. And those concerns are relieved when we exercise our faith. And God is gracious and good today. And this song is for all of us right while you're seated before we go home today. Would you just let that play from the Brooklyn Tabernacle? And the man singing this song was once hopelessly hooked on drugs, but Jesus set him free. So when he sings about this, he knows what he's talking about. So let's rejoice with them that rejoice today. Would you do that before we dismiss?